Hey everyone, Irit Izips here for yet another episode of CSM Practice Podcast. The podcast is dedicated for any companies that want to grow and improve their expansion strategy and how they work with customers using customer success methodologies. Our episode is going to be dedicated to how to grow and scale and how to do it in a manner that increases upsell and reduces churn. And I have a very special guest with me today, Elliot Nasia, CCO of a company called Sociable. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. I'm really happy to be here with you, Irit.
Elliot, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What is this last name all about?
I'm from Paris. I'm a French person. I guess you have heard that with my accent. My family come from half of France, half of Algeria. Okay, it's three generations before. So this last name is from Algeria.
So you were 13 years in customer relations, and you're currently the chief customer officer at Sociable, which is a French SaaS startup, I should say. Tell me a little bit about which kind of clients does your current customer success team works with, and what kind of problems do they help them solve?
We work with kind of all type of customers. So mostly it's large companies. Sociable provide a tool that helps company and communicators engage and inform their workforce. So obviously, the larger the company, the more communication issues they have. But mostly we have from SMBs to enterprise customers. And we also have a lot of enterprise customers that have also small projects. So we work with a lot of different type of companies.
How big is your team right now?
It's 25, 30, I didn't count recently, but it's around that.
How long ago did you start with the company, and how many team members did you have back then?
So I joined the company 6 years ago, and we were around 5 people.
At a high level, what are the top 2 or 3 things that you've done as you had to scale the team, and how fast did you scale them from 5 to 30?
When I joined 6 years ago, I was a CSM. So I was a CSM with kind of a lot of experience in customer facing. It was the first time I've ever worked as a CSM with this name of the function. And it took me 1 year to start taking the lead of the team, and then 1 year to really figure out how I wanted to grow the team. It was something quite new for me. So I guess everything really started for me 4 years ago. In the last 2 years, 3 years, this is when we were ready to scale. And this is when we went from 5 people to 30 people.
In 2 years, you grew the team times 6.
Yes.
It's a big difference to manage 5 people versus 30, I would think.
I managed before up to 5 people. So I was comfortable at the beginning. It was a different challenge, obviously, because I was the type of person that was managing people, coaching them. It was kind of a one-on-one approach. And obviously with 30 people, this is not something that can work anymore. So yeah, big change.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. When you grow your team, not only do you need to make changes in tools and processes and people, but it's not just people as in terms of your team. It's also people like yourself and how you approach things. What did you change in yourself? How did you manage the team differently?
I'm an engineer at first, but my first job, and I started my professional life as a salesperson. Every company I went, when I started working with, I had a coach. So I only knew that. And so I think it creates also something like you control how people grow because you are with them all the time. And I use the word control voluntarily because I think I had to let it go a little. And I think it was beneficial for me, because I didn't want to have the control. I only knew how to do that this way. It helped me also take a step back and let people grow the way they want. Just before, I was making sure that people were growing the way I wanted. And I changed that. I'm saying that a little differently today. In fact, what I create is I create the environment where they can be themselves, but just in the kind of right environment. So it means that they can do kind of whatever they want, but there are just some guidelines from them to grow the right way. Like you could do with plants, I guess, but not by pushing the plant to do exactly this, but more giving some space so they can grow the way they want, but in the direction you want them to go.
Before you realized that things need to change, you had 5 people. What was the point where you said that things needs to change, and what were some of the challenges that you or your team were starting to face before you started implementing any changes?
It's really basic. It's workload. When you coach people one-on-one, it takes a lot of time. And I was the type of person that was spending time with people. I wasn't afraid of long hours and long day. At some point, you know, I've almost burned out because it was too much and the team was too big and I wanted to help them as much as possible. I couldn't do it anymore. I've seen that coming because I knew that we were going to recruit a lot of people in a short period of time. So I thought to myself, okay, so this is already difficult for me right now. Let's plan for change proactively. So I don't come to the situation where I can't do and I can't help my team the right way possible.
Do you think that if you did continue the way you did and the team grew to 30, not only you would have been obviously burnout, but what do you think would have been the impact on the company, on the team?
So I think it would have been random. I wouldn't have the time to help people grow. When I say help people grow, there is a multiple component. There is skills that are specific to Sociable and the knowledge that come from, because we are high touch and there is a lot of components that are consulting components on how to help customers grow and reach success. And even if you are a senior customer success manager, when you start working at Sociable, there is this mandatory ramp up. Takes 18 months minimum. So you have enough elements to help customers the best way possible. This is why I'm saying it would have been random because I learned it myself. So it's not like I'm more clever than the others. I'm sure that some others would have learned that, but it would have taken a lot of time for them to reach this level of knowledge. So it would have maybe been slower growth and maybe some people wouldn't have get to this point. And so obviously the result wouldn't be that great, I guess.
Sort of like random level of performance, potentially longer ramp up time for new employees.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah. It's been 2-3 years after you did make a lot of changes. What was the impact of implementing these changes on the company, on the team, on yourself?
For me, the first impact is NRR. Okay, we reduced the churn and I have data to prove that. NRR has been better for reduction of churn. And also because we increased growth coming from upsells, we now have the time to help people grow their sales skills. I think also something that I'm proud of in the sense that it's related to people is I'm sure that with the thing that we've implemented in terms of specialization, some people in the team would have left the company because maybe at some point they would have been limited in their personal growth.
First of all, you dubbed down on the actual processes and teaching the team's new skill set. And secondly, you created specialized roles. Were there any other things that you have done during these last 2-3 years that you think helped you decrease bandwidth, but also improve upsell and reduce churn?
Now, a lot of things that we've done but that are inside those two components. Specializing and helping training people and help them grow their skills at a scalable way. We did that in a lot of different ways. So we also help people get better at helping our customer reach success. Because a lot of the component that of the CSM job at Sociable today is really consultant. So we are selling, by the way, the consulting time that we spend with our customers. For example, we help them help our customers succeed better, because before we had like a team of 5 people when I joined and everyone was doing whatever they wanted. But at some point, we didn't learn from the other's experience. When I was coaching people, it was my knowledge only shared with everyone. And I felt that it was like a shame to do that because I only had my own experience and people were working with a lot of different customers and each customer teaches something. So at some point I felt, okay, so we need to gather the knowledge at some point so everyone can learn from everyone.
How did you do knowledge sharing amongst the team? And this is when you were like just 7 or 10, right? You already started that?
Yeah. So back then it was so easy. Before it was a lot of, let's have a recurring meeting where we share. And we just had that once a week and it was enough because it was the same people over and over again. So at some point it was limited. So today we have a lot of different ways to do that. There are ways that we do that asynchronously. So we work with teams and we share every week, for example, what we've learned about the past week. What are the interesting things that we've implemented with customers? What are the documentation that we worked on? And everyone shares that to everyone. So it's kind of sharing a bit of what we've done last week. So this is the first way. We've organized a lot of different meetings that are about sharing what people are doing, some that are focused on business, some that are focused on projects, some that are focused on consulting. For example, we have like organized last year a meeting that I manage with some of the leaders in the team, which we call consulting Q&A, and we address all objections that we have. So we take the objection that we hear people share during the week, and we share that with everyone. And it worked really well because, you know, this is when we started aggregating knowledge about objection. So it's one topic is objection handling. But this topic is a pain. No one really knows how to handle objection before you share the right way to do it. We try to do that in a specialized way. And we also implemented a tool. To be fair, this one we were really late doing that is documenting. Before, it was a lot of we share one to many, either asynchronously or during meetings. But we didn't have one place where we could gather everything. We felt the pain so hard that everyone started to work on that, and we gathered like maybe hundreds of documentation today that everyone can find again.
Listen, this is almost too easy to be true. And why would you, like you said, wait a few years to start? Anybody can start, even if they have five people. One, a shared folder where you share things you created for clients so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Create weekly meetings around specific areas that you want to improve so that you can group coach instead of one-on-one coaching. Absolutely brilliant.
We took way much time to implement this documentation. And in fact, what we had is we had every documentation, and we were good at doing that when it was about customer documentation. So setup, implementation, and we had great documentation about that. What was difficult was more CS documentation, internal documentation, like objection handling. How do you engage with sponsors? How do you manage an M&A? Those things that are more internal was just like we share one to anyone.
Did you use a tool or did you just dump everything into one shared folder?
No, we used the tool. In fact, the tool led us to put that in place. So we use Confluence.
Okay, so better knowledge sharing through group discussions. So keep yourself out almost like as a single coach with clear dependency to having the team coach one another. And obviously it oozes from you that you are a coach at heart. So I'm sure you still do a lot of one-on-ones. But what else have you done besides this knowledge sharing? I think you mentioned specialized roles, and was there anything else?
And in fact, where I started the scalability in the team was implementing different segments. So identify different segments amongst our customers and implementing the right teams to work with each of those segments of customer. Something that I've heard a lot, right way to scale is to benchmark. And I kind of tried to wrap my head around that. It didn't work for us. Yeah, I knew that at some point we would start segmenting the team. And also something that I didn't figure out at the beginning was I don't feel it's the right moment. And then suddenly, I think we're around 10 people. It made sense. So it made sense for one of our markets. So we work in different markets, North America, Europe, and APAC. For example, for one of our markets, it made sense. Okay, we had enough customers, enough CSMs, and something that I didn't realize before that was that you need a critical mass to start creating segments. Because if you have two people, you can't segment them in three, for example.
What did that open up for you, by the way? Once you started segmenting for North America and Europe, why was that so critical for scaling?
For me, this is what unlocked everything. We are selling our consulting. So the element that helped us segment is, for us, the number of consulting days that a customer have. Okay, because if I take two like extreme example, if I tell you you have 100 customers to manage, each of them have one day for you to spend with them during the year. And if I tell you, okay, you have one customer who's 100 days, obviously your job is going to be different. And the expectation of the customers are going to be different as well. So this is where we did the split is, okay, so we know the different type of customers that have different expectation from us, and also the job is different. In fact, we identified even low-touch approach that were kind of a surprise to us. We were coming from high-touch. So there is one low-touch approach, there is two high-touch approach. And this was the beginning, because once you identify the different type of customers, you can also build the skills that goes with it. For example, we were struggling with a certain type of customers that was kind of new to us. When you put a name on something, it helps. When you create segments, you define the different segments, you define rules, you map who is who, And it helps understand, okay, this type of customer, these are their expectations. This is where we need to improve because we are not good. And obviously, as a company, we started with average size of customers, in my case, and we were really good at managing those, but not the others that were kind of different from this main portfolio. So one of the segments were good, we had all of the process. On the others, we are kind of trying to use this same approach that wasn't working until the point where we really figured that out and named the segments and really treated the split. This is when we started to work on it to help the growth. Once you have segments, you can also identify leaders that can lead the segments. It doesn't mean only leading people, because obviously this was something important to me because I couldn't help everyone, so I needed people to help me. It was also leading the growth in our methodologies and processes and documentation to, so it's kind of a link with what we were sharing before, is if we want to grow knowledge, we need to have people that kind of coordinate the efforts to grow knowledge. So it's not just spread and everyone just sharing what they want. There is at least some people that are coordinating all the efforts.
Yeah, one of the things that I find when my clients start to segment their customers is that now you have specific people eyeing and working with specific segment, all of a sudden, all these shades of gray of use cases open up versus when you treat everybody like one segment, you just focus on the extreme use cases. Did that happen to you too?
Exactly. And for example, what we identified is the way that we sell to each segment of customers is going to be different. So obviously the way that we help them succeed is different. And also the opportunities are going to be different. And we know that also, for example, the pricing model can be different as well. So this is why I said it opened all the doors for us. Be fair, we were blind before because we didn't know who we were discussing with. Now we know. Maybe it will change in the future. Maybe we're going to go even more precise in the future by, you know, adding other type of segments. But at least for now, we have this clear understanding of what they expect, how I can talk to them, how do I need to implement the project, how I can sell to them. And for example, something that we did as well is for the enterprise segment, we also changed the job of the CSM and how the structure is organized. So for example, we have, instead of one CSM, we have a team of two people that are both working for this customer, but each of them are specialized in one part of the job. As I was telling before, the CSM at Sociable are managing business. So there was like a component of business and a component of project. When you start working with customers, like you have only two customers, you work with them 2/3 of the year, we have enough time to specialize people in project and to specialize people in business and account management. So this was also a way for us to better manage the business, better address their needs. Because we created, in fact, something that was a mirror to the organization. For example, the one that is managing the business, in the title of this role, there is director, because we want a director to discuss with directors in enterprise customers. When you have project managers on the customer side, we have project managers on our side. So we also adapted how we are structured and the positions.
To help you create a more effective customer relationship. It's easier from the client's perspective to connect like that.
Exactly.
You talked before about bandwidth and how much you struggled with bandwidth before you implemented segmentation and knowledge sharing. What happened to your bandwidth today?
Now I'm able to do things that I wasn't able to do before. So obviously every time I was on the edge, then I implemented something that helped me. I needed to feel the pain so I implemented the right thing. Here in this situation, what happened is first, I need to identify leaders because we had the segments, but we didn't yet have the leaders. It took some time. And something that I learned in the process is it takes time. And during this period, it's difficult because, for example, I think at some point I was managing directly 12 or 13 people.
But what do you think is the optimal number?
On my side, when I was operational managing customers, because at some point I was managing customers and managing people as well, obviously the number was a little different. Now that I manage only directly people, I don't manage customers. I'm able to manage up to 6 or 8 people. But I guess the ideal number to me is between 4 and 6.
From a bandwidth perspective, even though obviously you're still busy, you probably still work overtime, you have more control of how much time you spend on certain areas that are important for you. When we say bandwidth, that's what people mean. Like, if you don't have bandwidth, you must dedicate yourself to the most urgent thing. But when you do have bandwidth, you're still busy, but you have control around where you put your time in.
Exactly.
If anybody here wants to take that on, what are like three things to avoid or three things to absolutely do as they go through this journey of growing their teams?
First, I trusted myself. At the beginning, I was doubting a lot. Something I've learned is when I see something is not going well, it's not going well. Talk about it with a lot of different people. Every time that I was having a conversation with my CEO, with people in my team, it helped me move forward. So now what I do is every time I have a hunch on something, an idea, I share it as soon as possible, just to listen to feedback and to start conversation. Sometimes basic things, and just the fact that I'm saying that to someone, and the fact that there is someone listening to me, it helps come up with concrete ideas of things I can put in place. And maybe the last thing is hiring the right people. Spending the right time to hire the right people, people that you can trust, people that are aligned with your vision, with your values, that wants to get the best out of the team.
Do you have a podcast or a book that you can recommend for relatively new executives of CS or in general that works with client that wants to grow their team pretty quickly that maybe you have listened to or watched videos you watched or a book that you've read that helped you along this way to get inspired about ideas to implement?
I guess I can set the obvious yours. Definitely helped me a lot. The Jason's take on. Podcast, really great one. Someone that I love reading about is Christy Faltoruzzo. She works at Client Success today. I would recommend following her.
Elliot, thank you so much. This has been absolutely tremendous. I love your story. I love what you've done. And I love how humble you are about it. I just tried something. If it stuck, if it had a good impact, we left it alone. If we needed to continuously tweak it, so be it, but at least we took a step forward and we didn't wait until we come up with the most perfect idea. And anything that you do is going to be better than nothing.
Thanks a lot, Irit. It was a pleasure being here.